Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. We'll begin reading shortly from that chapter. A few weeks ago, I spent four Wednesday nights in a row speaking from the book of Ecclesiastes. In that 12-chapter book, Solomon declared that life lived outside of the Lord's will is vanity or worthless, and declares, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. That if we live our lives outside of the Lord's will, now for many people in our society today, they have absolutely no idea what it means to live within the will of God. If they are not attending a church that preaches the Word of God, if they themselves are not reading the Word of God, how would they have a clue as to what the will of God is? And there are so many people today that are empty because they have a void in their life that only God can fill. And if God has not filled that void, their life is worthless. Dr. David Emmons writes the following thought: "How do you know if someone really loves you? Some people may say they love you, but if they do not show it, you may doubt their sincerity, and sometimes with good reason. Human love can be fickle. People can profess their love and a few years later change their minds," unquote. And some of you have experienced that, where someone declared their love in a ceremony only to have it go south a few years later. Fortunately, God's love is neither fickle, nor temporary, nor temperamental. He will love you and me forever. Solomon's counsels us to love God and to build our lives around him, because in the end, he is all that really matters. Now you ponder that thought. God is the only thing that really matters in our life. You say, "Well, I have a nice house or a nice job or nice cars and nice clothes and nice things." They mean nothing if you're not right with God, if you're not in his love. The King Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes during what was called Israel's golden age, when a magnificent Jewish temple graced the top of Mount Moriah in the royal city of Jerusalem. And according to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 27, silver was as common as stones. Isn't that amazing? It was such a wealthy nation at that time. But, a little more than 300 years later, everything would change. The prophet Jeremiah cried out to God as he watched the Babylonians destroy the holy city and burn Solomon's temple to the ground. We just heard about this from Pastor Stephen as he talked about Hezekiah and the Babylonians. Well, 300 years after the temple was built, the Babylonians would come and destroy it. Yet in the midst of the chaos and suffering, Jeremiah still declared what we will now read in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. And would you please stand as we do this opening reading from the Word of God? Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, We thank you for the songs that have been sung. We thank you for the offerings that have been put in the offering box. We thank you for the thoughts that have been given by Pastor Stephen and for the reading of the scriptures from Esther by Brother Watke. And Lord, now as we ask the question, how can we know? How can we know about the love of God? Lord, we thank you that you don't leave it a mystery, but that you proclaim it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Question: how do we know that God loves us? How do we know? The answer. The answer can be summed up in a name: Jesus. He is the answer. Number one, what true love looks like. You know, we hear an awful lot about love, and can I say this, that television has distorted our idea of what love is. We find that many writings and magazines and books have distorted what love is. Scripture reveals God's love for his people, especially as it is displayed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, telling us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You've heard those verses read over and over again, and how important it is that we know them. Spiritually, we are all dead in our sins, doomed to be separated from God forever. But then we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, are you not glad for the mercy that our Lord shares with us? We don't deserve it. There's nothing we have done to earn it. He just simply loves us. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Love. It's an interesting thought. How much do you love somebody? The book of 1 John tells us, whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. He showed his love. He proved his love. I don't know how many times I've heard someone say, well, he said he loves me, but he doesn't make me happy. Well, is that how you know that someone loves you? How many people do you make happy? The fact of the matter is, love means giving. Your willingness to give. That should be your desire. God himself is the very definition of love, and he loves perfectly and rightly all the time. He proved his love. He showed it. In fact, God's love is the very core of the Christian faith. You remove God's love from our teachings and we would be nothing. There would be no reason even to be here. But because of God's love, we have Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we have love. We have salvation. It defines who God is and the relationship we have with him after we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Love. In Romans, the Apostle Paul taught about humanity's sinfulness, and how people suppress the truth about God and disobey him. Many in places of authority suppress the truth by wanting to stop the church from proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. Consequently, God's righteous wrath has fallen on humanity. See, God being perfect and holy and just hates sin. He hates it. Have you ever been working with paint and you spilt the paint on the floor? Why is it you like it on the wall, but you hate it on the floor? Because you want it on the wall, right? See, mankind throws sin all over the place and then expects God to accept it. Man today says God is intolerant, that God is unjust and is wrong because God has an opinion that's contrary to our opinion. Can I ask you a question? Whose opinion should you want, God's opinion or man's opinion? I didn't hear you. God's opinion. And yet, why is it man argues with the Word of God? Because Satan has, shall we say, influenced us in such a way that we think that we are superior to God. Again, Pastor Emmons writes, Jesus stepped into our place, died on the cross for our sins, and satisfied God's righteous wrath. Thus, today we can have peace with God and a new life through faith in Christ. The wonderful good news of the gospel is that God loves us and through His Son has provided us for forgiveness from sin, peace with Him, and newness of life. Unquote. Yesterday, I went to a couple of garage sales with two of my granddaughters. Now, one of my granddaughters believes that money is everywhere and she should be able to buy everything she wants. It's very difficult to try to tell a 7-year-old, no, I'm not going to buy that. Why not? We were there at one garage sale and they had this huge dollhouse. It was about that tall, about that wide. And I asked the woman, I said, how much is it? And she goes, well, if it's for boys, it's less because they play with their dinosaurs in it. Come on, folks, laugh there. With the girls, it's more because they use it for dollhouse. But she also was selling those Jell-O molds, copper Jell-O molds that you've seen on people's walls. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I was a child, I thought everybody had Jell-O molds on their walls. I just thought that. I thought, you know, if you don't have Jell-O molds on your walls, there's something wrong. Why did I think you needed Jell-O molds on your walls? Because my mom had them. My mother had them on her walls. In fact, I had given her one for a present. And, you know, I thought that they were special. Later I learned, my wife made it clear to me, that you don't need to put Jell-O molds on walls. But you know what else I thought? I thought people all died on crosses. I thought, you know, I heard the story that that Jesus Christ died for you and died on the cross, and if you accepted Him as Savior, you didn't have to do that. And I used to think that, and I used to wonder where the people died on crosses. You say, Pastor Paul, you were kind of ignorant. Just don't say that out loud, okay? But aren't you glad that you don't have to die for your sins? Can I say this, that all people die because of sin? That's physically. But spiritually, you do not have to die spiritually because Jesus Christ died to take away your sins. But for those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will die spiritually and spend eternity in hell. So the decision is ours. Are we going to accept Christ as our Savior, accept His love, or will we reject it? Point number two, as you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, point number two is five questions. Five questions. You go to the doctor's office, and he always has you fill out a questionnaire as you sit there in the lobby. And then they call you back to the room, and they ask you the same questions again. Yes, always asking questions. Questions are good. I ask questions all the time. I remember when I was in Algebra 2, and at the end of the year, the teacher Mr. Johnston told the class that they should be glad that Paul Madonna was in their algebra class because he was the only one that would ask questions. You know, we need to be willing to ask questions. And we find that questions are asked regularly. In one of the most beloved passages of the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, Paul asks five questions about God, and we'll begin reading at verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? If God be for us, who can be against this? Well, we know that our enemy, Satan, is constantly against the believer. We also know that if one does not know Jesus Christ the Savior, that Satan is constantly trying to rid that person of a testimony of God's love. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Folks, there's a great place awaiting the born-again believer. Jesus said shortly before he went to the garden that he was going away to prepare a place for us and that he would come again. What a grand place heaven's going to be with a street of gold. Can you imagine? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Can I tell you who will lay charge against you? Satan. Satan is going to be there when we stand before Almighty God at the judgment seat. And he will declare, this is a sinful person. And every one of us will say, yes. And he will declare our sins. And God will say, but he's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is saved. That's what we need to realize, is we need Jesus Christ as our lawyer. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth, who has taken away our sins. Who is he that condemneth? Again, it is Satan, but Christ has died so that we know Christ as our Savior. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It gives you a number of thoughts. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? No, these will not separate us from the love of Christ. During any time of conflict in which our soldiers have gone to battle, and those soldiers are on the battlefield, is their love back home not still there? Are they still not loved by mother and father and siblings and wife? Yes. Though they may be in harm's way, they are still loved. And we here are in harm's way because of sin. And yet God still loves us. Considering all the benefits that we have in God through Jesus, Paul, again, took us to the love of Jesus. Don't ever forget that great love. Don't take it for granted. He left heaven's glory so that we could have salvation. God's love is at the very center of who he is and our relationship to him. I mentioned that my wife and I will be celebrating 48 years of marriage. Do you think I've always loved her the way I should? Be honest. Come on. No. Do you think there have been times that I have been selfish? You're trying to be nice, I know, but go ahead. Do you think there have been times I've been selfish? Yes. You know, there are times that the love really doesn't quite show. Unfortunately, that's true. But how about God? Does He love us all the time? What about when we go through difficult times? Does He still love us? Do we say, well, why, God, why did I have to endure this? Well, the fact of the matter is, because of sin, we have issues in life. Be they illness or mistreatment or whatever may come down the road. But our Lord has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That when we go through those difficult times, we can be assured that He is by our side and He will give us strength to get through them. Our hope and assurance lie in the fact of God's love for us and the nature of that love, which is faithful, unchanging, steadfast, and true. We never have to doubt God's love. Now, we may not enjoy the circumstances in which we find ourselves, but we know that God's love is there with us. God is the almighty creator of the universe, and we see His sovereignty in the miraculous ordained circumstances that surrounded Jesus' incarnation. The fact that He was willing to come. That God was willing to let God die for our sins. And that's a very interesting thought. We see God's purposes in what Jesus accomplished for us, and that we can be saved from paying the penalty of our sin, and He made His children through Christ's redeeming act of love. We have been made His children because of His love. Again, how do we know that God loves us? The answer is Jesus. So if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. A few months ago, we put on the sign outside, "Fear knocked, faith answered, no one was there." When we go to battle, make sure that Jesus is with you. Furthermore, if he did not spare His own Son, but allowed Him to be sacrificed for us, what do you think He will do to those who belittle Christ's death by saying that one can work their way to heaven, or that there are multiple ways into heaven? Let me say this once again. There is only one way into heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. There are not multiple ways, and you cannot work your way into heaven because you're simply not good enough. We're all sinners, and we all deserve hell. But God's mercy is shown to those who are willing to accept Christ as their Savior. Can I say this? Do not let pride get in the way of your accepting Christ as Savior. Don't let someone else's thoughts, "Well, you don't really want to do that, do you?" get in the way. Because you don't want to go through eternity wishing you had done the right thing. The prophet Isaiah described Jesus to the Jewish people more than 400 years before Christ was born. Jesus is the one that fulfills Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll read just two verses of that great chapter. But it says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." What are transgressions? Sins. "He was bruised for our iniquities." What are iniquities? Sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Every man, woman, and child that has ever been born can be saved, but the majority will never accept Christ as their Savior. Either they will never hear the story of Jesus Christ, or upon hearing it, they will reject it. But they will be without excuse, because nature itself declares the glory of God. Number three, the greatest calling. The fact is that our Lord loves us so much that nothing can ever separate us from Him. Let's read verses 38 and 39 here in Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The principalities and power mentioned here are found also in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, where we are fighting them in a spiritual battle regularly. And Paul says, I don't believe any of these things can separate us from the love of God. God's love will never fail. We can count on it no matter what we may endure. Illness, persecution, economic hardship, broken relationships, or heartaches. Got a letter from one of our missionaries asking us to pray for their family and their 19-year-old daughter who has drifted from the Lord. Grown up as a missionary's child, has come to the United States to go to college and has drifted from the faith. That'll bring heartache to a parent. And yet we realize that God's love will allow that child to come back, even as the prodigal son was welcomed back by his father. Jesus promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So how do we know God loves us? The answer for the believer is Jesus. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Are you faithful to Him? Do you show your love in return? Conclusion. Only when we hear the good news of Jesus Christ and believe it, understanding that we are all sinners under the wrath of God, who cannot save themselves, but can only find salvation in Jesus Christ. His love is forever. And serving the Lord, as Solomon said, is the greatest calling of our lives. For all else is vanity. Would you please stand with us at this time? Debbie will come and play our invitation song, Every Head Bowed and Every Eye Closed. The gift of salvation is unspeakable. It's great. It's marvelous. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Only you can answer that question. It is being offered to you. Will you take it? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity for us to get our lives right with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.